Today, ooh, turn that down just a smidge, guys. Today, we're talking about rewards once again. And I'd just like to remind us where Brother David left off with us last week. He was talking to us about the crown of life. He was also talking to us about the reality that our works will be judged. Our works do not get us into heaven, all right? Our works are not unto salvation. Our works are out of salvation, okay? And it's understanding the reality of what those two different things mean. Because there is a group of people in our world today that believes that by their works they shall be saved. But that's not the truth. The truth of it is you have to have a relationship with Christ. And in that relationship, out of your salvation, we are then changed if we turn our lives over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and He begins to work through us, we begin to store up rewards in heaven. And from those rewards, again, we will be judged and then the rewards come. It's not judgment unto salvation because we are already judged righteous in the sight of God through the blood of Christ. But the crown of life, as we read, and turn to James 1 and 12, if you would, please. I'd like to just recap that a little bit and then move forward, because Brother David got to put very little time into that, unfortunately, with everything he had to talk to us about. He wanted to make sure he had that one portion down, and I told him, that's quite all right. So we're just going to visit this for just a moment. And then move forward. In verse 12, in the book of James, in the first chapter, we're told these words. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And the crown of life, and why am I using that piece of scripture? Well, look at what it says in verse 12, because that was 13, okay, I'm sorry. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Now, there's something here that needs to be understood, and really a lot of this falls into the crowns and just the blessings that we have. Who receives these blessings? Does anybody in the world receive these blessings? No, absolutely not. Only those who love God. And that is something that really needs to be stressed today in our world. Because there are a lot of people out there that say, oh yes, I know Jesus. You know, you can walk out there and ask people, do you know Jesus Christ? You know, are you a Christian? Oh yes, I'm a Christian. I know who Jesus is. Well, I hate when people tell me that. Because here's the reality. Satan is on a first-name basis with him. Did you hear what I just said? Satan is on a first-name basis with him. They know each other more personally and intimately than we know him. Okay? The demons know him, not only by name, but by sight. Okay? They know who he is. They've been in his presence. And yet at the name of Jesus, even they tremble. So we need to remember, when we're looking at these rewards, when we're looking at what's going on, it doesn't matter who you know. I know Bill Clinton because he was the president of our United States. Does that mean I'm going to go knock on his door and have dinner with the man? I don't think so, not only because politically I don't agree with him, but I don't think so because I really don't know the man, all right? It's a difference between knowing someone and loving someone. Because to love someone is to truly know them, to know them intimately. And God needs to know us intimately. And the only way we receive the crown of life is that as we have been tempted, because we love God, we choose life. And we do not choose the things of this world. And that's what Brother David was trying to tell us when he was talking about the wood, hay, and stubble. And the gold, precious stones, and silver, okay? It's choosing those things of God, choosing to do and be where God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. We need to love the Lord more than our own life. And in that, we will receive the crown of life. I think it's funny because you think about this world. This world is full of baubles and shiny things. You know, we all have things around here. How many of you love the home you're in? Okay? Love the car you drive. Love the job you have. Love the friends you've made. Love the clothes you wear. Love the money in your bank account. Yeah, what money? The point is this. In our world, there are all kinds of distractions thrown at us to pull our true attention away from God. And that God spoke about that. He said, have no other images. Have no other gods before me, right? Because that's literally what we do. When we begin to love those things and put value on them, we're literally turning them into idols. We're turning them into gods. I like my house because God gave it to me, and it's the place where I live, and I'm going to take care of it because I'm hoping to sell it one day because that's a lot of my retirement. Right? I mean, isn't that the way we're supposed to think as Christians? This is a gift of God given to me for a temporal time. No, my son's not going to inherit it because I'm going to spend it. I'm going to tell him the same thing my grandpa told my dad and his sisters. Don't look for an inheritance. I'm going to spend it. I need to live my life until I die. All right? And so shall I. Because that's what God's given me. God will give you the inheritance that He wants you to have, right? Through hard work and labor and dedication and service unto the Lord, right? Amen. God has something in store for each and every one of us. And that's a reality that we really need to permeate our world with. And not that, you know, people are expecting something for nothing. And there's a lot of people expecting the crown of life for nothing. But I was a good person. What? No one is good. No, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? Again, the crown of life comes only to those who love the Lord more than our own lives and turn away from the baubles and trinkets of this world unto the life that God has for us to live. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, does it? God never said it was going to be easy. Wait a minute, Pastor Rich. You know, God says that, you know, He will give us all things. Yeah. Yeah. That's an eternal promise. Where does that happen? In eternity. Okay? You need to realize that is part of the inheritance of the kingdom. We get some of it here on earth, but not all of it. We get it after we've been away from the body and in the presence of the Lord. That's our delayed gratification. Oh, don't you just love that word? Our world hates that word, but the reality is we have something far more better to look forward to. And the second of the rewards is what we're going to be investing a lot of our time in here today, and that is called the crown incorruptible, because there are several crowns that are spoken of in the Scripture, and we need to understand that each of these are a little bit different in what they encompass and just what they incorporate into them, because again, as Brother David tried to teach us, and this was something I really hope you got this, and I need to put this in. He said, and this is theological truth, that there will be different positions in heaven, okay? In the Scriptures, we're told of the banquet feast where the one went in and went to the seat of honor and sat down. And we're told in the Scriptures that we're not supposed to take that seat of honor because if we do, the master of the house may come and tell us, oh, that seat's been reserved for someone else. You need to move. And because the banquet is now full, the only place left may be the standing room in the hallway. All right? We need to remember there will be positions in heaven that we will literally earn our way. Just as there are levels of hell, okay, there are also levels of heaven. You hear Bobby Bolts pray about it all the time, or talk about it if you listen to him. He says, I'm going to pray into the third heaven. What's he mean by that? He's talking about praying into the different levels of heaven. There are literally three levels of heaven, all right? And he's praying into the highest level, and that's where God dwells, okay? That is the throne room. And we need to remember that we're each going to find ourselves somewhere along the way. All right? And where are we going to be? Well, a lot of that is going to determine which of the crowns that we have and the position that we find ourselves in. Because remember, there are going to be some who get in and they have no crowns whatsoever. They get in, they're saved, but they're going to be in the smoking lounge. Okay? And you've all heard me talk about that, right? They will literally be in the smoking lounge. And you know, how would you like to go to heaven and pass by that place and you see puffs of smoke coming off these folks? Because they've passed through as one going through the flames, and they survived, but with no reward. All they got in with, and you know, we've all heard this, you got in by the skin of your teeth. I didn't know I had skin on my teeth. The second crown, the crown incorruptible. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Now, I'm going to read this to you first in the King James, and then I'm going to read it with you again in the NIV. And the reason for that, again, and this is one of the things that I tell you folks all the time, you really need to have more than one Bible because you need to look up different translations to see how different words are used. The NIV is a whole lot easier language to follow, but there are some places where it just does not do justice to the actual words that are there because it tries to make them easier to understand. That's one of the things I like about the NIV because it does make it a whole lot easier for us to understand. It talks in a very simple vernacular that we can all read and comprehend. But I want you to hear it in the King James, which is a little bit higher English, and it's also, in this particular instance, a little bit better translation. It says to us in the 24th verse, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." Now that's a little hard to kind of put it all together, all right? Because it's some pretty heavy thoughts within that. But when you read it in the NIV, it makes a whole lot more sense, but then it also loses a few very good words that we need to talk about. Now, I'm going to jump back to verse 19, all right? So we're going to read it in the NIV from verse 19. It says, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I became all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Blessed be the word of our Lord. When we look into this word, we see Paul here talking about how he began to work and walk in his life, that depending upon who was in front of him, depended upon how he responded to that individual. Okay? So if he found someone who was a Jew, he acted as a Jew. If he found someone who was a Gentile, he acted as a Gentile. Why? Because he wanted to get into their understanding. He wanted them to understand him on the same level, on the same plane. Okay? And in so doing, he became all things to all men. Because he was running a race to win a prize. What is that prize that he was running to win? The prize that he was running to win is the incorruptible crown, as we heard from the King James. Now here in the NIV, it says a crown that will last forever. And you know, they run, speaking of people in our world, it was actually speaking, Paul is speaking here, of the Greeks doing their Olympic Games. Okay? Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because they would run to win a crown that would fade, a crown that was corruptible, a crown that would die. Does anybody know what Paul's talking about there? It's kind of neat, because when you ran in the Olympic Games in Greece, you didn't get gold medals like we get today that are worth, you know, a couple $1,000s in the gold that's in them. Now let's put on the reality that it's an Olympic medal, and all of a sudden that kind of quadruples, all right? So there's value in it, right? In the Grecian days, they ran to get a crown. That was it, a crown. But it wasn't a gold crown. It wasn't a silver crown. It wasn't a crown of jewels. It was an olive branch with a ribbon on it. And they would get to wear that crown that they competed in the games and they won. Because only the winner got the crown. We give it to first, second, and third place. Did you ever notice that? As we got further away from you know, the realities of things, there's only one winner. I don't care. If you don't win, you what? You lost. All right? If you don't win, you lost. I love that, because I play solitaire on the computer, and it comes up because I play the one, I forget what it's called, but there's four people playing, so I'm playing against the computer three different ways. And it'll come up, you know, all the computer, north one, west one, east one, or, you know, north, west, east, and then there's Rich. He's at the bottom of the list, okay? And it's like, oh, well, if my name's not on the bottom of the list, I didn't lose. No, if your name's not at the top of the list, you didn't win. It's that simple. And it's the same way with the crown. That's why Paul says, run to win this crown. Only one gets it, okay? We need to understand something. Brian, does that mean if I run this race and I get the crown, you can't get one? What do you mean? That's okay, don't answer that. Miss Amy, if you win the crown, you mean I can get one too? No, wait a minute. Paul said there's only one winner. Each of us are running our own race. That's the point. Isn't that right, Brian? Isn't that right, Miss Amy? Each of us are running our own race. And we are either going to win the race or we're going to lose the race. Because it's a spiritual race. It's not a physical race. It's a spiritual race. And it is the race to win the crown of incorruptibility. Because that crown lasts forever. I want you to think about our world right now. Our world is handing out corruptible crowns left and right. We call them diplomas. Okay? We call them newscasts. We call them political parties. We call them so many things in our world because we hang all this weight on them that, well, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, I'm a, okay? And we can just list on and on and on and on and on. And the reality is the only thing that matters in life, and let's all be honest, is your name in the book of life. That's the only thing that matters. is your name in the book of life? And how do you get your name in there? And then once you've gotten your name in there, what is going to be your reward in heaven? What are you working towards? And Paul tells us that we are literally in a race. Yes, you've made it in, but that's not good enough because we need to finish, right? That's his whole point. Why do, you know, I think it's kind of cute. Miss Noelle over here, you know, God bless her, she ran a marathon or a half marathon, right? Now, I'm going to pick on her, all right? So please, Miss Noelle ran this half race. Miss Noelle, did you finish? Didn't finish. So you lost your race, right? Here's my point. We run a race to get to the finish line, right? But some things happened, didn't they? Yeah, they did. You fell down and kind of hurt yourself. And yeah, I mean, and there was just physically, there was no way you were going to finish it, right? The reality is, did you ever get to the finish line? Here's my point. Yes, you got to the finish line. Okay? How did you get to the finish line? Did you do your best? Did you give up along the way? No. Your body gave out. You fell. All right? You didn't give out. See, this is one of the things that I want us all to realize. We may think because something's tripped us up, we failed. But you know what? We serve one of the most gracious gods we could ever hope to serve. And he says, oh, no, my child. You went right to where I knew you were going to go. And now I'm going to pick you up and send you out there to do it all over again. What did you learn while you were down there, Miss Noelle? What did you... You have to listen? Yeah. Okay. We got to remember... Winning the crown incorruptible oftentimes means there are some things going on that we need to pay attention to. And those things are what I want to talk about today with this crown. Because many of us are running the race and we think that because I didn't achieve that goal, I lost the race. No. No. This race does not end until your last breath is gone from your being. All right? That's the awesomeness of this race. It doesn't end where you think it ends. It ends when God says, it's over. Here's your ticket. Come on home. Get on the train. However you want to say it, all right? And when that happens, that's when God looks at our lives and says, did you run the race? Did you win the prize? And here's how we know whether or not we're going to win the prize. You know, with all races, there are rules, right? Every race has a rule. Got to follow the rules, right? Got to follow the rules. Rule number one. We have got to deny ourselves of anything that would weigh us down or hold us back. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12. Their immune system gets a boost, their digestion improves. We're talking better mind. Verse 1. Your memory can even sharpen up. I mean, Jay, earlier you mentioned that people are shedding unwanted fat after being on the all-day energy greens. So let's talk a little bit about how all-day energy greens helps in that area.
There's an old saying in the fitness world, you can't exercise your way out of poor.
There are so many scriptures in life that when God brings them into my being, I try to remember them and live by them and hold strong to them because they truly do give me strength. And this is one of those verses for my life. In verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Folks, we have got to rid ourselves of all the sin and everything that hinders us. We have got to renew our minds. As I told the children, chapter 12, verse 2 in the book of Romans tells us that we are not to be like this world, but that by the transforming of our minds, by the renewing of our minds, to be changed. And that's one of the rules. We must be changed. And that comes through being born again. That comes through regaining the image that was taken from us. That comes through being born of the Spirit. Just as Adam was born of the Spirit, when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the nephesh went into him. So too, the nephesh, the Spirit of God, comes into us when we are born again from heaven. So we must be born again. But in being born again, now we have got to submit ourselves to that very Spirit to be transformed, to be renewed, to be changed, to let go of all the different things around us, this world's baubles. And remember, they're just tools, okay? I counsel people all the time, especially premarital counseling or families that are having trouble, and I'll tell them, you know, money is alive. You all do know that, right? It is alive. It has a being because we've given it one. We've given it so much power and authority that it is unreal. Our entire world operates on the power of money. Okay? No human being has the power that money has. Why do you think human beings try to accumulate so much of it? Because their power comes from the money. It doesn't come from them. It comes from the money. Money is a tool, folks. It's part of what God's given us to run the race. We need to remember it's a tool. We need to take authority over it and begin to utilize it to get us through the race. All right, that's what it's here for. It's not here to govern our lives. It's here to help us live our lives as we use it to our benefit and not be used by it. And how many of us today are used by money? I want you to think about that, because if you have debt, you are being used by money. Okay? And all of us need to understand that when we deny ourselves, you know, a friend of mine years ago, back when I was in Bible college, he actually preached his sermon in front of the entire college. And it was so funny because as you become a senior in the preaching ministry, that's one of the things you have to do to graduate. You have to preach in front of the entire school. And when he preached this sermon, he preached on this very verse. He came in and he had a Nike stuck in a block of cement. Okay, he literally took the shoe box, filled it with cement, and stuck the shoe in it. And he said, now, how many of you would like to run a race with that shoe on? How many of us are running the race with that shoe on? That we are tied down by the things of this world, by the sin in our lives, by the attitudes that we carry, by the misconceptions of life itself. We need to deny self of those things and find out what God would want from us. Because I'll guarantee you, He's going to unshackle us, right? What does He say? The Lord tells us that when He sets us free, we are what? Free indeed. Because He has set us free from all sin. We do not have to sin anymore. We do not have to pay homage to those things anymore. We don't need to desire those things anymore. I watched a commercial on TV the other day, and y'all are seeing it if you're watching unpaid TV anyway, where the folks who are paying for TV, the broadcasters who are making you pay for TV, they're lobbying the legislature to make all of us pay even more and to rid free TV. How do you like that? You know, what a world we live in. Nothing's free anymore, right? You're not even going to get free TV. We want everybody to pay. Well, you know what's going to happen when that day comes at my house? I will be unplugged. Because I will not. I am too cheap. All right? My wife's snickering. I am too cheap. Because that is something I don't need. I do not need to be enticed by the lies that they tell us over the airways anyhow. How many of you really know what's going on the West Coast right now with all the animals and all the things that are dying all over the West Coast? Because of the Fukushima nuclear reactor. All right? I was just reminded of this the other day. One of our brothers sent me a video, and it's just amazing. We're not being told about it. Why? They don't want us to know about it. They want us to think life is just fine. Do you realize that nuclear reactor over there is still melting down? That thing is still spewing out radiation 365 days a year, nonstop, because they can't stop it. Are you being told those things? Heavens no. We need to set ourselves free and begin realizing that as you turn away from the things of this world, wow, you know what? I don't care if the things along the West Coast, I mean, it does bother me, but I need to see it as the truth of what it is. The end's coming. Lord Jesus, you're getting ready to return. My race is getting short. I'm coming down the home stretch. What am I doing to get myself in position to win the crown of life? To win the crown incorruptible? To win, and we'll talk about those other crowns a little bit later. The crown of righteousness. The crown of... I can't remember what the fourth one is. Anyhow, when we look at how we're walking in this, the first rule is deny ourselves of anything that would weigh down or hold us back. Don't believe everything you hear. Turn the things to the Lord. Investigate things for yourself. Reason with the mind God has given you. The second thing we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on Christ. We do not need to look to the left nor to the right. How many of us are driving down the road every day, the road of life, and there are all kinds of things out there that try to get our attention? All right? I'm going to give you a funny one that happened just yesterday on the way home from a funeral. All right? We needed a laugh because coming home, a dear friend had passed away, and they were doing her service. And we're coming up the road, and there's this big yellow billboard, and it's got this nose on it, sticking out like 3.5 feet. I mean, the thing's probably 6 feet tall, and this nose sticks out like 3.5 feet from the billboard, looks flesh-colored, and beside it, it says, pick a good one. It's an advertisement for a car dealership. There are all kinds of things out there vying for our attention, aren't they? And they come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes and colors, and they're funny. Some of them are disgusting. Some of them are so perverse that it's like, oh, I can't look at that. Y'all are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Been there, done that, all right? We need to turn our eyes on Christ Jesus and never get our eyes off of Him. And when something in our world starts to pull our attention, then we need to turn back to rule number one and say, Lord, I cast off this thing that is making me weighed down. Lord, I need to look at Christ Jesus. I need to evoke rule number one and step into rule number two. And once we start getting that down, then we start understanding and seeing that God is everywhere. God is involved in everything. And I begin to hear stories like Brian shared with me earlier today. I begin to hear stories that I've been hearing from several different ones of you around the room that this is happening in my life and that is happening in my life. Pastor, this stuff never happened before. What's going on? You've got your eyes on Christ. You are beginning to live that transformed life. And it's in that transformed life that you will see Jesus Christ every day of your life. I talk to a brother of mine every now and then, and he tells me about how when he's out on the road, Jesus is right there with him, whether he's in New York, Vermont, or Lebanon. Isn't that neat? God travels with us. No, He doesn't travel with us. He's already there. I remember the first time that became evident to a large group of you folks that I was teaching, and that was, we were in Mississippi after Katrina. because that was such an awesome time when that happened. There we are ministering to people, and all of a sudden we met God face to face, and He began to minister to us in the midst of all the things that were happening in the lives of people who were completely torn upside down. And it was so funny because the very sermons that I had been preaching were on the walls of the church that we showed up at in Mississippi. And they said, "Oh my goodness, Pastor, look, you've been teaching on this for the last 6 months, and there it is, it's in the room we're staying in." I said, "Isn't that amazing? 1,200 miles away, and God's here." Yeah! Open your eyes. Jesus said, "Let him who has eyes," what? "And let him who has ears." And this is what we're talking about. When we turn our eyes upon Christ, we shall see and we shall hear, because He is there and He is ever present. He is always there giving us guidance. He's on the sideline cheering us on. No, He's right there beside you running the race, giving you the strength and encouragement. How do I know that? Because that's rule number three. Rule number three says we must look to God for strength and Him alone. Turn to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It's the very scriptures I was just speaking about that we found down in Mississippi. And I preached on for 6 months. It was a little over 6 months. It was almost a year I preached on these scriptures. Excuse me, Ephesians. Chapter 6. In the 10th verse, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Dear saints, when we look to God to give us the strength that we need, when you are running a race, you put on the equipment to run a race, right? When you are preparing for an event, you prepare yourself for that event, and you put on the garb that is needed, all right? We are running a race that says we need armor. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds a little difficult to run a race with armor on it, doesn't it? It's spiritual armor. It doesn't weigh anything, but it has an effect that will change your life and the world around you, because it is the strength of God on you that cannot be penetrated. That's the whole idea of armor, that what's outside can't get in. And it's that strength of God, that inner, and I'm not talking your inner strength, I'm not talking Zen stuff, I'm not talking new world, new age, you know, energy, you know, the mood stone, right? Yeah. Oh, it's that inner energy. No, it's not. It's the Spirit of God in you coming out through you. It is the strength of God to empower you. Last weekend, Brother David was up here. How many of you saw him walking back and forth? Miss Amy, how's David walking? He's walking with a heck of a gimp, isn't he? You know what happened to Brother Dave? He was playing softball. 56 years old. You'd think he'd know better. He was playing softball, and he tried to do a leap to catch the ball. Did he catch the ball, Miss Amy? No. What's that? He lost the ball, or he didn't catch the ball. He lost that race, right? But when he fell, he came up, he pulled his hamstring. You know what David said to him? And these are the things that I'm talking about, folks. These are the things that I'm talking about. These are the things that I'm seeing in the lives of each and every one of you that are beginning to walk a transformed life, to believe the things that Pastor Rich has been teaching for the last 12 years. When we walk in the power and the Spirit of the Lord, Brother Dave was up here walking around like he had not a hurt. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, it was unbelievable. He said, the whole time I was preaching, he said, I had no pain. He said, did you notice that? I said, yeah, you were walking all over the place. I said, I was praising God and I was praying for you the whole time because I knew as soon as the anointing left, you were really going to hurt. And that's exactly what happened. When God was done using him, all right, when he the whole time he was up here, he was submitted in the Lord. He was walking in the power of the Lord. He allowed the anointing of the Lord to come on him in strength and power. He allowed the anointing of the Lord to control his life. He allowed the strength of God to be put through him so that he could strengthen you. And as soon as he was done and came back to himself, guess what happened? So did the pain. In fact, it was worse. And he said so. He said, oh, it hurts like crazy now. I said, yeah. Because God took the pain away and you overexerted it the whole time you were up here moving around rather than standing still and knowing that, hey, I don't have the pain. I can preach through the pain. It doesn't control me. It doesn't have anything. I said, you used it. Okay? And now you're going to pay for it. I said, but do you understand what the anointing does? The anointing gives you the strength that even when you are physically unable, God makes you able. Are you getting my points? Okay, these aren't things that are fake. These are things that are being lived out in front of you right now. These are things that can affect your life right now. The Scripture tells us that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Because if we rely on our own strength to get things done, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to get very far. I have found that to be the case in all of my life. Because my attitudes are self-defeating. You know, we live in the negative. The negative in our world truly is the power of our world. It brings us down because the ruler of this world, remember, what does Scripture say here? We fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the rulers. We fight against the powers of this dark age. Okay? This is Satan and his minions in our world bringing in all this negative energy. And look at what's around us. You know, here this young man gets killed out there what's the name of the little town outside of St. Louis? Starts with a T. I can't remember what it's called. Trumbull? Is it Trumbull? I can't remember what it was. And they're looting the place. They're going out there and say, oh, this was an injustice that was done. So we're going to rob from our neighbors. That's the way we go, right? Negative energy. The negative energy, the negative power of this world is such an effective force. And we need to remember that we have not its opposite, because it's not an opposite. Because that is the power of darkness. That is the absence of light. We have the power of light. We have the power of God on our side. And the power of God drives out darkness. It must flee before Him. Because He is an all-consuming fire. And we need to remember that very strength, that very power is right there for you every day of your life, every moment of your life, if you're willing to walk in it and through it. Now, does that mean that I have it down every day that, boy, I'm doing great and it's just good and nothing affects me? Absolutely not. I can be a miserable, pathetic person. Ask my wife. I try to get real with you folks because it is real. I get discouraged. I get depressed. But it is so amazing to me because I know exactly what to do to get out of it. And it's not going to my doctor and getting a pill. I turn to the great physician and I fall on my face and I worship him and I honor him and I glorify him and I turn to rule number one and I cast off all the things of this world. And then I turn to rule number two and I look full in the marvelous face of Jesus Christ. And then I turn to rule number three and I rely on the strength of Jesus Christ and I am able to get up again and run that race once again because my finish line is not in front of me. I want you to think about that. Whose finish line just came a few days ago? Robin Williams. Here's a man, one of the funniest men on the planet. Mork and Mindy. How many of you remember Mork and Mindy? Nanu, Nanu. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it? That's okay. I'm cool with it. because there aren't any kids here. They have no idea what we're talking about. And we need to bless them as they're out there, right? All right. But here's a man, one of the funniest men in our planet. One of the wealthiest men, too. I mean, think about the money this guy had. He had all the baubles. He had all the glitz. He had all the glitter. And how happy was he? How much did life empower him? He empowered millions by making them laugh and making them feel good for a moment. But he couldn't make himself run the race one more day. I feel for him. And I don't want you to hear me judging him. I thought he was an awesome guy. And I really prayed for him because I listened to him several times talk about spiritual things. And boy, he was just so far from Christ, it was unreal. Because he believed that, yeah, there's something out there and you know, and we just need to figure it out. No, there's someone, and he's right here, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross for you and me, that if we but believe, we shall be saved. But then we need to run that race once we are saved to win the prize. Because as we run that race, we will gain the glory of home. Our fourth rule is we must place our life on the altar of our Lord. Robin Williams placed his life on the altar of our world. And look where it got him. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 12:1. You know that. What I just spoke there really speaks to me, and I know it speaks to a couple here, because I can remember myself being at a point in my life where I met Jesus for the first time, literally met Jesus for the first time, and that was when he saved me from committing suicide, because this world had nothing more left for me as I saw it. I had no more strength of my own. There was nothing left but depression and despair. And I was ready to check out. I was going to sacrifice my life on the altar of this world and die. Had that been the case, I'd have never met my loving wife, whom this February we will be married 30 blessed years. She's put up with me that long, yes. And I would never have known my son, who is a joy to me. And I still enjoy, even though he's 24, I still enjoy correcting him and guiding him. Because not that I want to correct him and beat him down, but I want to guide him into the things that I don't want him to walk where I did. I don't want him to experience the depression and the ignorance of life. I want him to walk in the glory of God. I want him to walk knowing these realities, that he can literally see the crown incorruptible before him even now. Because, Miss Amy, if you can see the prize in front of you and it's beautiful and you want it, doesn't that give you the incentive to go towards it? And that's the whole thing. This is why I'm telling you these things. Not that we do them specifically for the crown, but that it's there and it's available to us, and God's telling us that. And he says, yes, this can be yours. Please work at it. That's why they're here. They're here for you. But we have to work at it. And this verse tells us something so real that all of us need to hold to. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brothers and sisters, as we place our life on the altar of God's love, as we give all that we are, and we talk about it every Sunday, you do realize that's one of the things that Pastor is asking each and every one of you to do every week. I'm looking at rule number 4 and enforcing it every week. I'm looking at rule number one every week and helping you to reinforce it. I'm looking at rule number two. I'm looking at rule number three. I'm looking at rule number four. All of our worship incorporates every one of these rules that I am telling you about this day. Because our lives are to be lived in such a way that it is worship unto the Lord. Running this race is worship unto the Lord. Because it's submitting unto Him. It's giving unto Him the authority of our lives. It's putting ourselves down. The desires of this flesh, which are only carnal, and picking up the realities of the Spirit that say, I want my brother to know Christ. I want my grandchildren to know Christ. I want my neighbor to know Christ. I want my enemies to know Christ, because they'll no longer be my enemies. Amen? But our world says, oh, that's so wrong. That's proselytizing. Years ago, they used to call it evangelism. You would read about it in the newspaper. Oh, evangelist so-and-so was coming to town. The last time I saw, I could not believe it. I mean, and it was right in our own paper here in Lebanon. And it was talking about this group that was out there proselytizing. I thought, oh my goodness. Have we gone that far away? That everything in our world is being sacrificed on the altar of our world. We are to live our lives as a sacrifice unto God, a living sacrifice. Remember, a sacrifice has to die, right? That means death to our old self, putting it on the altar that we may live that new life in Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit. Because when we do, as we do, we become empowered, we become strengthened, we become an effective force against the darkness of this world. And our fifth rule is that we must, by faith, refuse anything that would stop or slow our spiritual growth. And that comes to us from Hebrews 1. Turn back there with me for just a moment, if you would. Back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in the first verse. Before I start on this, I need to say this thing. We live by faith, not by sight. Everything that we are needs to be by faith and not by sight. There are so many times I hear people say, oh, I hope or I pray. And then they go away acting as if those things are never going to happen. How much of our lives do you think would truly be victorious if we literally believed the things we prayed for? How much of our lives do you think would be victorious if we literally acted as though we had received it, even though we possibly hadn't? I want you to think about that last thought as we read this scripture from the first verse. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Jumping down to 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. Jumping to number 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family and all of us. Jumping to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Down to verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. What? They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Jumping over to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab became, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? Do I have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies? Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went out in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Brothers and sisters, right there it is. Dear saints, right there it is. By faith, we must live our lives. We must get out of this world in such a way, and I don't mean checking out like Robin Williams did. I mean checking in to the Holy Spirit, checking in to God's reality, and knowing that this world is not our home. How many of us are sharing the reality of this very church and what is happening here and how God is driving us, and this pastor's not afraid to speak a truth that you may not want to hear, but it's the truth, so you're going to hear it? Or are we afraid that somebody might think, oh, well, you know, they're pretty weird people. They actually believe the Bible. Well, guess what? I'm pretty darn proud of that, and you better be too, because that's the only thing that's going to set you apart at the end. When this race is finally over, that's going to be the determining factor. Remember, God grades on the cross, not a curve. There's not an almost. This ain't horseshoes and hand grenades. This is life and death. And there's only one way in, and that's through the body, blood of Jesus Christ. And you and I have that reality. We have that relationship. We have taken to us the truth of Jesus Christ. And through Him, we are given once again by the power of the Holy Spirit. The regeneration of that Spirit brings us back to life, taking away the dead. The old is gone, the new has come. And we are born again in Jesus Christ. And we are given back the image of God. Are people seeing Christ in you? That's how you know you're running the race, that you're winning the race. When people look at you, do they see the confidence of the cross? Do they see the strength of God? Do they see the perseverance of His Word? Do they see the reality of what you believe in who you are. So many of us live such a quiet life. Oh, I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. Well, guess what? When we get to heaven, God's going to say, I don't want people to know you were one of mine either. Isn't that what we just heard earlier today as Terry read the scriptures? And you know what? That's going to happen. And there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. Because we didn't even run the race. For heaven's sakes, we weren't even in the race. But today, it's understanding that as we give to our faith and refuse the things of this world, understanding that, you know, I don't care. You know, hey, I got to buy Obamacare. Wonderful. I'll buy Obamacare. But I'm not putting my hope in it. Okay? My hope is in the Lord who gave his life for me. Okay? That's my alma mater. Okay? That's the song of my alma mater. My hope is in the Lord who gave his life for me. I can remember standing with a whole group of people. I mean, I'm talking 2,000 people singing that song, declaring that song, because it was the truth of who we were. God was preparing an army. Are you part of that army? Are you putting on the armor that is needed to run this race? Are you preparing to run this race? Are you believing what is being told? Are you being set free from these things of this world? Are you seeing Christ in this world? Are you hearing Christ in this world? Are you looking to Him for the strength and only Him for the strength that you need to survive every day? I don't know about you, but I need it every day because it just keeps coming at me and it don't stop, and we all know what it is. It's not life. It's the world, and it's the darkness of this world. We have life, and we need to come at the darkness. And we need to remember one thing. If Christ is for us, who can be against us? For we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, I want you to begin running the race for the incorruptible crown, to win the prize to which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. Start running the race. You have all the power. You have all the strength. You have all the guidelines to run the race, to win the prize. Let us run. Let us beat our bodies. It's funny because the scripture there says to stand, I will stand, I will make my body stand under me. Okay? And this is one of the reasons I picked on Noel. Noel, what happened to your body? Your body gave out and you went down, right? We need to run this race that we are in control of this flesh. That no bump in the road is going to topple us. I'm sorry I didn't tell you I was going to pick on you today. I don't tell anybody. I just do it. Because here's the reality. God gives us these things in life, and I want you to see He's talking to you too. I want you, Eva, to see He's talking to you too. I want Miss Amy. I want Miss Sally. I want Terry. I want Rich. I want Whitey. I want Maul. Yeah, even Maul. To realize her race isn't over. Amen? Miss Kathy, is your race over? Philip, is your race over? It's just starting for you, buddy. Merle, we still got a long way to go, don't we? Amen. I may see 51 hanging in front of me and 52 looming on the edge. That does not matter. Because I have no idea when He's going to call me out. Do you have any idea when He's going to call you out, Dennis? Here's the question. Are you going to win? Are you going to run to win? Do you even want to be in the race? Choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we just thank you so much for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the message of your word, for Lord, there is nothing better than your word in our lives. Your word is the power of life. Your word is the encapsulator of each and every one of us. For Lord, in your word we find strength. In your word we find help. In your word we find knowledge. In your word we find the wisdom to make it through. For Lord, you have never told us that we were going to get around something, but that we will get through it with you at our side. Because Lord, you actually go before us and prepare the way. So Lord, I ask that you would bless each and every one of these, that you would strengthen them as they go, that the darkness of this world would have no prevalence over them, that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every person as they put on the full armor of God, for we have a portion to play in this as well. Gracious Father, bless them and keep them in your Holy Spirit, casting out the darkness, for you are a fire consuming. And so too, Lord, you are the fire igniting us unto light in this world. As we go, Lord, go before us, go beside us, go behind us, that we may be the image that we are meant to be, Christ's image in this your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.